good Sunday morning, Dallas and Fort Worth. This is program number 49. One more to go, and we will have a 50th anniversary. I'm not sure how to do that over the radio, but that would be tomorrow. We are continuing the Cup of Goodness this morning with our special Sunday morning program. We are looking through a King James Bible. We are looking through the book of Ephesians. And we have made ourselves up to chapter 4. Please remember, I'm not going to expound upon you any of my enticing words of wisdom. I'm just going to pretty much read the scriptures to you with a few comments that will take us to other scriptures, which will bring us back from that bunny trail back to the scriptural path that we started on in the first place, which today will be Ephesians chapter 4. So let's just get started here. Time always seems to go by quickly for me anyway. Chapter 4 from Ephesians, fantastic book. Starts off with the word therefore. So because it starts off with therefore, that is basically saying, so because of what you just read, chapter 3, which is in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, and then he goes on and he explains that he's there to reveal the mystery, which is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And you read Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3, and then Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 11, you see how much more involvement, how much more importance our salvation is concerning the Jews. Chapter 3, Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Before we go to verse 2, one of these programs, we're going to start talking about that four-letter word that Christians despise and hate, which is probably the biggest reason they don't like Paul. And that's the word walk, W-A-L-K. To be a Christian, our walk should reflect being a Christian. Our walk is not to make us a Christian, and the pressure from the pulpit is not to make us do the walk, or God will chastise you. Pastors come up with the word chastisement all the time, and they can only get it from Hebrews chapter 4, and Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, so that's a tribulation book. And like I say quite often, we'll talk about that one at a later date. So Paul says, I therefore, because of what I just taught you in chapter 3, and if you don't understand chapter 3, you need to read chapter 2. And if chapter 2 hasn't been read and understood, I will go back to chapter 1. But if you understand chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, now Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, comma, not a period, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's your period. 2 Timothy has a couple verses that used to bother me for so many years. I was under different preachers here and there that were just hellfire and brimstone. And if they weren't hellfire and brimstone with a handkerchief in their eyes and preaching hard, I've been on the street with people handing out tracts and street preaching. And there they are yelling and screaming at all the people in the street on the corners. They go down to the bad corners and they do their thing. But something would always bother me because I would read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. And yet I see preacher after preacher after preacher preaching hard, striving, in your face. I realize that the Word of God does need to be preached. I realize that rebuke and reproof is not something you hold hands with, but it doesn't have to be a screaming match, doesn't have to be hardcore, because Paul says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, I'm not the lovey-dovey Jesus crowd, where God loves everybody to this day, so be nice to him. We're made in God's image because we're not made in God's image. We are made in Adam's fallen image. So we got this love thing way out of balance. And it's a love that's based on humanistic love, ignoring sin, ignoring the things that we shouldn't be doing, ignoring the truth, ignoring the risen Savior's teachings, ignoring the Bible, ignoring doctrine, and just loving everybody. And that is not what Paul talks about when you read all of Paul's materials. So with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, he also says in 2 Timothy there, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. They have to come to the observation that something's wrong. They have to realize that what's going on in their church is not right. They have to realize there's a problem with the music in the church. They have to realize that the pastors have changed their message. They have to realize that preaching the Great Commission is not true. They have to realize that following Paul is what we're supposed to do. They have to realize that they need to change their lives. Is it just to please God? It really isn't just to please God. It's because of what you learned about the risen Savior, what he has done, especially in the book of Romans, especially in Colossians, especially in Ephesians. And then you see what he has done for you. I mean, you stand approved before God. When you start to realize that, then you will realize to yourself that you have been your own enemy. And what we have to do to show people that is we have to show them the scriptures. And then they'll come to this observation someday, hopefully. Now, we know that people won't endure sound doctrine, and they got these itching ears, and they're turning away their ears from the truth, but yelling and screaming at them isn't going to fix it. But then again, just pumping a bunch of music into their ears, rock and roll music, to get them to come to school. I know rock and roll is an old term, but I'm an old guy. So, changing the music to add the beat to get the flesh pumping, trying to have favor with all the people, it doesn't work. It may come up with results, but are the results honest and good? It's something I have to come to realize. The servant of the Lord must not strive. And when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, which is what this is about, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. You'd almost think that God was from Texas. I'll wait for the cheers to die down. Because he says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That sounds Texan to me. But so there's the unity. One body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's unity. One body, body of Christ. One Spirit, the Spirit of God. One calling, to follow Paul and teach others. One Lord, one faith, and that's his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. One baptism is a spiritual baptism. It is not a water baptism, whether it's before salvation, for salvation, or after salvation. It doesn't matter. A water baptism is a gospel teaching, not a Paul teaching. Gentiles, all they do is get wet when they do a water baptism. We'll talk about that in a separate program. One God and Father of all. If we all accepted those ones, there'd be that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And by the way, all of this is found in only one Bible, King James Bible. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far from all heavens, that he might fill all things. Those are sermons right in itself in verse 9 and 10. But let's go back to verse 8. He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now, if you're a Bible reader, you would realize that there are gifts, spiritual gifts, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, healing. Wow. A lot of that going around today. But there's also gifts that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. So how can we have two different kinds of gifts? What's the problem here? What's the solution to understand this? Paul wrote Corinthians. That's one of Paul's books, so it must, well, that's true. And there's a very simple answer to that question. But, like I always say, we're not going to do it today. We will talk about the gifts that Paul imparts unto his people, which is us Gentiles. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or is it Romans chapter 12? And how do you tell the difference? There's one historical event that changes, that helps you understand that whole question. Like I say, not today. Let's keep going. Verse 12. Now we get into the design of the Gentile church. Not Acts chapter 2, but Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We're living in the dispensation where he gives pastors and teachers. We have no prophets today. We have no apostles. And evangelists? Paul was an evangelist. But now we have churches. And what about evangelism? What about reaching out to other people? Do we need a Thursday night program? Do we need to buy some books on evangelism? Do we need to be taught how to evangelize people? Or can you just get a hold of this Bible and learn to love God by following Paul? And your life will change, which you will find out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's your evangelism. Is it lifestyle evangelism? No, that's a cop-out. That's the devil taking something that's true, having your lifestyle change to follow the manner of life of Paul, and yet in verse 8, you still need to sound out the word. So the devil takes a truth, and he twists it into this fear of being labeled a lifestyle Christian, lifestyle salvation, lifestyle evangelism, when part of that's true. Yes, your lifestyle should change. People should see that you're turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They might not agree with that. That's more than obvious, the way Paul's people are treated. But that's the truth about evangelism. So evangelists, sure, if they're doing the right thing. I can't think of any. I honestly can't think of anybody going on deputation preaching Paul only. Now, I know some evangelists and some missionaries that I showed this to. And I know there was a missionary. I could tell you so many stories. There's a missionary. He agreed with me totally. And yet, when he wrote me his thank you letter, his stationery had Mark 16 on it for his verses up there. That's the Great Commission. What are you doing? I just told you that. I had another man come through with a lot of kids. Well, he understood it. He saw what I was saying. He had to agree. I mean, you have to agree to the scriptures. But he wasn't going to get any support. 10 kids, you've got to have a lot of support. So he got involved with the bigger churches and the other churches, tossed away Paul, tossed away Paul's teachings, Paul's gospel, tossed away the risen Savior, went back to the teachings from Jesus to the Jews, and now he's got all the support he needs to be in his country. I've got stories about evangelists and missionaries. Verse 12. Why, pastors and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints. Again, not to make us sinningless, but to finish what needs to be done in our lives, to have our faith perfected. Okay? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, here's our goal, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, meaning we will be complete when Christ judges our works. Our soul's been circumcised away. We're still clean on the inside. He'll make us clean on the outside someday, and we will be that perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, if that isn't tough enough right there, it sounds, we need to grow up as Christians. We need to know what we believe. We need to be able to stand for what we believe. Not only do we need to change our lives to what Paul calls his manner of life, which we will talk about that in another program, if we can keep these programs going. Can you stand for what you believe? Or do you follow what your pastor says, so when he's not there to answer the questions about doctrine, you can't answer that? Honestly, ask yourself that. Well, I'm not much of a conversationalist. I'm not much of a fighter. You don't have to be a fighter. Just tell people why you live the way you do as a Christian, based on Paul's teachings, if you do, and explain that. If you don't, show me in the scriptures where you can live the way you live. Show me in the scriptures. That's the key. Even when Jesus was talking to his Jews, he said, ye err not knowing the scriptures. It's got to come from the scriptures, folks. Believe what you want. Have your own belief. Have your own doctrine, whatever. But show me in the scriptures where that's okay. And I'll challenge people out there, if you think I'm nuttier than a fruitcake, if you think I'm like that, then show me, stand up for what you believe, Stand up for your doctrine and show me where I'm wrong. I've got people that say they love me that won't do that. Well, if you love me, wouldn't you do that? I don't expect you folks out there in Fort Worth, Dallas, to do this because you don't love me. You don't even know me. I know. You love everybody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you don't know me, you don't love me, you could care less what I'm teaching. Yeah, but what if I'm steering people wrong? Doesn't that bother you? Quit being a child. Don't be willing to be tossed to and fro. Kids, they go to grandma's. They believe like grandma does. After, if they want cookies from grandma, they got to believe the way grandma believes. They go over to grandpa. It's just like Opal and Earl. Just like Opal and Earl. The little nephew goes off with grandpa, and he comes back with totally different beliefs than from grandma. That's what children do. They go off with their mom. They go off with their dad. They go off with their brothers, which is dangerous nowadays. Go off with their sisters. Go off with their friends. Go to camp. Go to Bible camp. Go to basketball camp. They will come back with different doctrines. They go to the school, and they'll come back with different doctrinal brainwashing that the parents don't believe in. You'll homeschool. Which doctrine will you use? Which curriculum will you use? Common Core. Oh, dastardly Common Core. What kind of doctrine is that teaching your kids? Do you even know? We need to grow up as parents. We need to grow up as dads and mothers, teachers. I don't think a politician could ever grow up. I don't think they're capable of doing that. So let's get back to our thing here. As a Christian, Paul will teach us in a Gentile church that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. You mean they're actually out there to do this on purpose? Yeah, they're magicians, tricksters, and cunning craftiness. That means they're thinking about it, they're planning on it, whereby they lie in wait. They're just sitting there waiting for you, lie in wait to deceive. So, in a Gentile church, that's their goal. That pastor should be helping you get your doctrine solid. And he does that by showing you the scriptures again, and then showing them to you again. And you're flipping the pages around. Your pages should be a little bit dirty. If I could show you a picture of my Bible right now, you would see my whole Bible. You know, it's worn. I've had this for quite a while. But my pages on Paul, they stick out about an eighth of an inch above all the rest of the pages. I can hardly turn them because they're air thin. You need to learn your doctrine. People are so afraid of the word doctrine. People are afraid of being an American. The whole world has America convinced that we've been bad for all these years. Suddenly, we're finally getting our lifestyles together. We're finally letting the whole world come in. Blah, 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 blah. Where are our mature people that stand on America's doctrine based on that Constitution for all these years? We're letting things happen. Same thing in a Gentile church. We should be standing strong. Yet, in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. You care for these people. You care for your family and friends. You care for America. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Talk about unity. Every part of that body is working. Now, I've had surgery on my back 2 times, once on my neck. I'm having physical therapy now to have my neck loosened up on my back, and I'm telling you, this body has never worked this closely together for years. It's a fantastic thing. The body of Christ, which will not stray, which the gates of hell will not prevail against, we are still a tight body. But then again, how are we handling each other in the different parts of the world? Do we email? Do we contact? Do we talk to each other? Do we help each other? Could it be that maybe our outward body of Christ isn't what we should be? Maybe it's because so many of us don't have a church, local church, to go to with the brethren that preaches and teaches Paul. We have a lot of people that turn to the website, scatteredchristians.org. That's our church. That's where we go for the preaching. Here, I'm the pastor. Here's the sermons. There's 93 gigabytes or whatever those fancy techie terms are. There's sermons since 2004 on that site. There's another site full of music sermons. There's a site full of music, hymns played by piano, hundreds of them. There's pictures. There's letters from people, encouragements. There's Bible studies. Can that be your local church? Sure, you can get fed from that place. Get on the website. Click on that old battered-up church building and see what it says about having an internet church like that. Speaking the truth into love. Whole body fitly joined together. Every part working, every part doing its job. Maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. What's the unifying basis on churches today? Come on, you know, music. You can go to any church and worship together because the music's all the same anymore. It's all based on rhythm. Rhythm affects the flesh. They don't want to hear doctrine that deals with the mind. They don't want to have any heart sermons that gets to the heart. They just want the music. Let's have a good time together, hopping and jumping and praising God, worshiping the Lord. That's not what unity is at all. Everybody's got so many different Bibles out there, they probably don't even bring them to church anymore. So that's what the church is. A Gentile church teaching Paul. That's what churches are supposed to. There is a purpose for the local church. It isn't Acts chapter 2. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, we've got to keep going here. That took longer than I thought it would. Verse 17. This I say, therefore. Okay, so because of what he said beforehand. Notice, by the way, I haven't gone to any Greek. I haven't gone to anything else. I'm just reading the scriptures. And it makes total sense. It's very simple. Get back on the trail here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, you know, from this point on, come on, folks, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Well, how do other Gentiles walk? In the vanity of their mind. Well, who are other Gentiles? Now remember, Paul talks about three different groups of people: Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. Church of God are Gentiles that have put their faith and trust in the risen Savior, and Paul's teaching them. Paul's the master builder. He's given them the risen Savior for the foundation. That's the Church of God. So when he says, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, he's talking about these people, his people, the Church of God, walking like the other Gentiles, which are not Church of God people. So today, we'll say it this way. Henceforth walk not as the lost people walk. Other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Do they do that? Well, sure they do. Christians today dress the same as lost people in the world, act the same, party the same, entertain the same. Seriously? Yeah, they do. I've heard so many people that don't claim to be a Christian have even observed, listen, if you're a Christian, what are you doing here? If you're a Christian, what are you wearing that for? If you're a Christian, why are you here at this movie? If you're a Christian, why are you drinking that? What's going on here? The lost world has higher standards for Christianity. What's going on? The Church of God people today, if they're even a Christian, they may be just an imitated Christian, a fake and a false Christian, thinking they're Christians. What are they doing? They're walking like lost people, walking like other Gentiles. Now, how was that? In the vanity of their mind. Comma, here's some details. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Now remember, this ignorance, they can't stand for their doctrine. They have no clue what the scriptures say. They just know what they like. Alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, see, if their heart is blinded, if their heart is no longer able to see, then they're past feeling. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, very indulgent in the flesh, lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what's going on. But ye have not so learned Christ. And ye, he's talking to the Church of God Gentiles, but because it's plural, why is plural? Any of ye's and these? T is singular, Y is plural. It's that simple. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Have you been taught by Christ? Or have you been taught by the Jesus Gospels? Jesus Gospels isn't the Gospel of Christ. Have you heard from Christ? How do you hear from Christ? Christ met with Paul. God preserved the scriptures. Paul wrote, had them written down, preserve them today. You read Paul, you're hearing from Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, The risen Savior, Jesus Christ, will not teach us the Gospels. He would say to you, listen, I taught that to the Jews. I'm not going to teach that to you Gentiles. You want to hear from me? Go listen to Paul. I told Paul everything I want you to hear, what I want you to learn. And you'll be thrilled. You'll be excited. You'll have a joy. You'll have a peace. You will want to please God. Well, just like always happens, I didn't get through with the chapter. We will pick this up again next Sunday, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll probably start off with verse 22, and that's probably good because we start getting into chapter 4, verse 22. We're starting to get into that walk, W-A-L-K. There's actually things that the risen Savior teaches us that we should do and not do that pleases Him. And Paul knows what they are, and he's going to teach them to us. Do we have to do them? No. Is the pastor going to make you do them? Well, he shouldn't. But you're going to want to do them when you really learn what Christ truly has done for you. And if you want the kind of testimony that gives Christ the glory, you'll learn to follow the risen Savior by looking to Paul in the King James Rightly Divided Bible. And someday you will throw out everything that you have learned in your religion. Have a good day, folks.